Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff Jarrett.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis and I'm joined by lukewarm Luke Owen. It's coming home. It's coming home. It's coming. Dynamite's coming home.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. Ollie Davis, to apologize. How the devil are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Dynamite's back.
I know.
We're here on a Thursday. We can talk more than once a week now.
Getting up this morning was a genuine joy. To come down to my office and be like, oh, and now I get to put Dynamite on and watch that for a bit and take my notes and things like that. Got myself my little coffee ready. It was a genuine thrill to watch the show again.
Yeah, a lot of people probably think, oh man, what a dream job. Wrestling, like covering wrestling as your day-to-day thing. And it is at the start, and then it quickly becomes normalized, and then you end up hating WWE. But AEW consistently, it is like, whenever I'm watching it, I'm pinching myself all the time. Wow, wow, wow. This is our job. I love this promotion. Yeah. What an episode.
Yeah, it was a really, really good one. And, you know, we are, as a country, riding on a high because the football lads did some great football on Tuesday.
Scored some goals. Foot like scored a traction engine.
Oh, absolutely. It was liquid football to get the two nils over the Germans, over Germany in the Euros.
Yeah, take that, German Dan, our long-standing, very lovely fan of this channel. Yeah, in your face, because this is football bants now, and I'm allowed to say whatever I want in the confines of that. You stupid man.
Yeah, he booked me for a cameo to send out to Andy Datson because it was Andy Datson's birthday yesterday. And he did it about an hour after the football had finished. And I didn't think it was, I was like, huh, did he spend that hour crying? And then thought, oh, actually, I do need to book that cameo as well.
Well, you know, not every wrestling fan follows the football. I must confess, I only watched the last 15 minutes and Pete didn't watch it at all. I only started watching when I heard people cheering outside my flat.
So thought, really? Oh,
something's happened.
You go.
Oh, so we both talked too much there and then we both backed off too much.
We're too polite.
I was going to say, I live in such a built-up area. You know, like in like the, I don't know, 300 meter radius around my flat, there's probably 120 individual living units, and a lot of them are English, and they were, yeah, it was like you could hear it out the way everyone was going, whoa! So I thought, better put on the TV.
I watched it from the very get-go. Like, you and I finished the Raw podcast on Tuesday, and I set my iPad up here on my desk, and I watched Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, the absolute legend that he is, and Rio Ferdinand and Jurgen Klinsmann. Like, I think I've said this on the podcast before, but my knowledge of football is very, very bad. And I think it says a lot about me as a football fan in Bucky O'Hare is in inverted commas, when I could tell you the names of the pundits, but I cannot tell you many of the names of the people who are actually playing the game, because the pundits were the people that I watched 20 years ago play football.
Yeah, well, they do a good job getting you up to speed. Look, honestly, I have watched minimal football this tournament, and I know that Gareth Southgate's 3-5-3 formation or whatever it is isn't, you know, it can be creative. You need a creative midfielder in there. You need Grealish, Luke. You need Grealish to start. He's the playmaker. That formation's not going to create the sort of chances you need to convert the goals. Poor Harry Kane's up there all by himself. I don't know what I'm talking about. But they say this so much that it's now, I can, you know, it's my thing now. I can say this. I probably sounded half competent at football knowledge there.
You really did. You completely convinced me. When my father-in-law and my brother-in-law came round to watch the football when England played the Scotland in our group qualifying stages, my father-in-law is quite the football fan, and he had two daughters, and neither of them were interested in football, so he's never had football to watch. He's never had someone to watch football with, and now he's got two son-in-laws. And both of us will watch football, but neither is a massively into football, but we will watch it. And so he kind of like looks forward to like the football banter. So what I do is I listen to like football podcasts before I'm going to see him. And then I can just regurgitate what I've heard from those football podcasts.
Nice.
And pass it off as my own opinion.
Have you got like a top one to go to at the moment?
Oh, I mean, Gareth Southgate's formation just isn't working. Like, they just play
but it is when you've got Grealish. When Grealish can create the chances.
Well, no, I know, but all they ever do is play backwards. You know, they just start in midfield and just play it back. Play it back to Pickford. I know that name. And then you just play it forward again. You know, you're never creating chances there. He's always going for the 0-0 draw. Always going for the safe option is Gareth Southgate. That is something I'm pretty sure I learned from the Daily Euros on BBC Sounds. And it does sound like it was my own opinion there. I've even said it to my wife, and she thinks that I know things now.
don't let her catch on. I think this sort of criticism, I've heard this before for every England manager. I think it's maybe it's just in the, you know, Sven Goran Eriksson, Roy Hodgson. It's like, maybe it's us. Yeah. Maybe it's the country. We are just pretty boring and defense orientated. My favorite thing to do, because all of my friends from school are very football mad, and I will just stand up, start clapping aggressively when it's a bit boring, and go, talk to each other.
Out wide is my favorite to say. If a lot of like you're down the center, you go out wide.
What do you think of in-play betting? This is something a couple of my friends just do, and he's like, oh, I think there's gonna be a corner coming up. And he'll get his phone out and he'll bet on the probability of a corner happening, or that there's going to be three more corners in the game or something like that. Oh yeah, I've got 50 quid on you know, there being six corners and this guy's going to get sent off. Could come in big time. I'm like, what the? This is no longer like, you know, oh, I like this team. I think that they could win. Those are good odds. It's not that when you're playing with corners, that is like a roulette wheel.
I used to have this, not so much a problem, but when I used to do local radio about 10, 12 years ago or so, my co-host was massively into like in-game betting and stuff and setting up like in-game, like micro bets to do. I'm not an advocate for betting personally, because I think that it is an industry that preys upon people to just constantly spend money. You're never winning. If you think you're winning the bets, you're never winning the bets. The house is always winning. But he was massively into those sorts of like micro bets to place, and he would do it in the middle of links, and like we would finish a song.
What?
And then he would start like looking at things. So I'm trying to have a conversation with him, because it's, you know, it's radio and I'm trying to like talk to him and stuff. And I could see him like being very monosyllabic with his answers, because he's looking at the bets and seeing like what bets could possibly come up and stuff. And I'd go to the next song and I'd be like, Rick, man, come on, work with me here. This is a two-way street. You can't just be there betting all the time.
What? So he'll be there normally during the song, And then as soon as he's meant to talk and be focused, that's when he starts to procrastinate.
Yeah, it felt like that was the way it was.
Infuriating.
It was infuriating, Ollie. It really was. He apologized to me eventually, and it was when, oh, I'm sorry, mate. Because I don't get angry. I never got angry at him. And he was like, oh, I did something wrong, didn't I? I was like, yes, this is a radio show, man. Come on.
Did it make you feel big and proud to belittle a man with a gambling addiction?
It made me feel very bad. It made me feel very bad. It's like blood in the clock tower all over again.
You son of a bitch. You haven't apologized properly. I know you said sorry. I know you said sorry a lot, but I don't feel like that was properly. Not until Smoochie happens. Not until Smoochie for the content.
Smooching for the content. Anyway, let's get into the AEW review itself. Enjoyed this show a lot. Bloody lovely having the show back. And here it is.
Good night. Now I must bid you adieu, bang bang. I've gotten that catchphrase so wrong. So wrong.
We rehearsed this before we went live.
Then there was a 20-second countdown. I forgot what it was. Farewell to the Daily's Place lockdown era of AEW. The Dynamite Show is back, everybody. Thank you for coming here today to watch it. Of course, subscribe to the Wrestle Talk podcast channel so you get all of our shows, particularly an exciting one coming up tomorrow, the relaunched magazine show, but especially for AEW reviews. It's been a month because it's been on Fridays or it's been on Saturdays, so we haven't been doing this show. It's so great to do it. And with the restart of an era, we are saying goodbye to an era that's just passed, and that is all those shows at Daily's Place. AEW will go back on the road as of next week. And not just that, but like that famous angle in 2001 at the end of Raw when they cut to WCW Nitro and they said, it's not Vince McMahon on the contract, it's Shane McMahon. JR revealed in this crazy bit right at the end, it's not AEW Dynamite anymore.
Folks, there's nothing in your life that will top seeing a live WWE Dynamite.
Oh my God! I can't believe it's happening! The crossover! AEW has been bought by Vince McMahon. I mean, we all thought they're releasing all these wrestlers to prepare for a sale. Nuh-uh. They were making room for AEW, WWE Dynamite. What do you feel about this?
Oh, Jim. Jim. Like, he's called Kenny before WWE champion Kenny Omega, now calling it WWE Dynamite. And like, do you know what? Like, it's a slip of the tongue. These things happen. It's I on various shows that we have done here, because we have Cinemania, we also have Quizzlemania. And there have been times where I've been talking about Cinemania and I've called it Quizzlemania and vice versa. It just happens. I'm not very good at my job, it would seem. But to come off the back of that video package, which was all about like, oh man, it's been an 18 months, hasn't it all? But we've got through it together. And next week, we're going to be back with you, the greatest fans on the planet, to present to you the greatest wrestling show that you could possibly see. And he bollocks up the name.
I didn't spot it the first time because I was, if you haven't seen the episode, folks, great episode. Anyway, but then I was like, oh, where's the big angle coming? The main event's over. There's 5 minutes of the show that I can see left by the Fight TV runtime. And then it cuts to this just incredibly moving montage with a sort of music track underneath of all of the moments that we've had since last March, starting with that episode where Cody just walked out into the empty arena and that Kenny Omega back as a babyface, like looking around, genuine chills. And then like all the things that have happened this year, WWE is a company that have sort of been like, oh, well, we've got our money. Let's not try. And they haven't tried for a long, long time. And hopefully they will start doing it again. But AEW, to their enormous credit, have rewarded everyone who stayed with them. Brody Lee, Matt Hardy, FTR, Sting, Kenny Omega winning the belt, an Impact crossover, freaking Kenta, remember the New Japan stuff? And it's just like, they did all of these clips of the stuff that's happened, the title changes, the TNT title stuff, that Brody Lee episode, the parking lot match.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was just like, parking, oh my God. Road. And then you get, it cuts back to the crowd. I'm crying. I don't know about you. My girlfriend got back from her early morning fitness class, and I usually go and meet her like a little puppy. Where have you been? I missed you. And she comes in. I just like, I'm trying not to speak because my voice is going to break. She says, "You're right in there." I went, "Yeah," because I'm genuinely weeping from this. And then JR, oh, I missed it. I went back and watched it. Then JR goes,
"Yeah,
WWE."
Like, poor it was guy. Such a good video package, though. Like, it was so
awesome. Good.
Like you were saying, that I've watched it twice as well. Like, I've watched it a couple of times now because it is so, so wonderful. And like, it was kind of like, there were moments where I was like, I cannot believe that was in the last year. Like, you and I were covering that show separately as well. Like, in this scenario that we're in at the moment, recording from separate houses. I was like, man, we've been on quite the journey. What a time we've had together. And then Jim Ross is like, WWE Dynamite, come check it out. And I'm like, oh, Jim, man.
This is not the exploding barbed wire death match finale. This is not seeing the crash, Matt. But it is, it's like the AEW, you know, we're on the Khan Coin payroll. We love AEW. I adore it. It's like I said on the news today, a lot of people very kindly say thank you for your daily videos to us. Like, we couldn't get through, like, I don't know what I would have done in the pandemic without Wrestle Talk. And that's very humbling. And as I was watching that montage of all those moments, I thought, dear God, like, I know what those people mean now, because that's what AEW has genuinely been to me. But then, like, they're so perfect that they unfortunately have this habit over the last 5 months of really fumbling the end of a great thing.
They can't finish. That is what AEW is at
the like
moment.
Me.
They are incredible at foreplay. Brilliant at foreplay, but cannot do the big finish.
They've got they're tickling the balls. They're
they're doing all the things.
I'm like, this is great. And then it's just like, damn.
Yeah, because then you go online and it is people pointing, and it's people making fun of the fact that you have had your big finish ruined. And I would say as well that, you know, old man says something wrong. I'm an old man myself, and I say things wrong. It's really not that big of it all the time. It's really not that big of a deal. I think if anyone's calling for Jim Ross to be fired over this, is like, that's a massive overreaction. It's a slip of the tongue. These things happen to this live TV. I think the best way to look at this is through the very funny lens of like, man, biffed that right at the end, didn't you? Like, you were so close to perfection there, and you just biffed it right at the last moment.
I think obviously a lot of people are sort of down on JR. Like, if this was just if Excalibur or someone like that said it, it would be much more a sort of, ha-ha, what a silly botch. And that's how, you know, that's how me and you are taking it. I think that's how most people are taking it. But there is a portion of people who do not like JR on commentary. And I get why, because he can be quite overbearingly salty at times. And I guess, like, if you heard that bit at the end, that might be, oh, come on. Like, he's making mistakes at that level, and he's a bit grumpy on commentary sometimes. I don't want him. But me personally, I think his benefits far outweigh the negatives. He's a recognizable voice from that era. He's very competent usually.
And dude, I would say as well, like, if you think that JR is salty, you should have listened to him when he was doing New Japan. Like, that was salty JR. That was JR basically just being like, this product sucks and I hate everything. It's so like, he hated everything that New Japan did and hated every single person that was there. This is much better JR. At least he looks like, he sounds like he enjoys this at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, listen to it again.
Folks, there's nothing in your life that will top seeing a live WWE Dynamite.
He's genuinely loving it.
Yeah.
It's just he got one word wrong. Unfortunately, it was the most important word in that sentence.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Let's see what all you guys and girls think and everyone in between. Thank you very much for all your Ultra Chats so far. We've had 2 pages despite upping the sort of, well, you know, the new thing is if it's over $5, we'll read it out on air. Otherwise, we get too many chats and it sort of eats up the review time. But we've already got 2 pages because I think everyone is very happy that the Dynamite reviews are back. Charles Berg, Jim Ross continuing to call AEW WWE is crazy, almost as crazy as offering a gaming service with over 100 great titles, including Doom, Yakuza, and Halo Infinite for £9.99 a month. Not a paid shill. Paid shouldn't beat Kenny Boy yet. Still scared of failure.
Do you know what that service is?
It sounds like the Xbox thing that you hate so much.
No, it's not the Xbox one I hate. It's the PlayStation one I hate. I don't have an Xbox.
Okay.
The PlayStation one's a racket, by the way. That's that is a scam. An absolute scam.
Do you...
Idiots like Laurie have bought it, hook, line, and sphincter, and will defend it to its very core.
Sphincter. Hooked. Ouch. Tender part of the body. Did you hear my Kenny Boy botch in the news yesterday?
I didn't know.
I was trying to say Kenny Omega versus Jungle Boy. And I said, Kenny Boy. Oh, Kenny Boy. Jonathan Hedman says, wouldn't it be funny if, for parody's sake, they do the intro next week as WWE Dynamite? It's funny. Anyway, keep up the stellar work. Thank you, Hedman.
Thanks,
would be good. Hannah Allen. Also, AEW was all right, shrug, lol. Nah, I loved it. I'm enjoying the clear, way over the top distinction between baby faces and heels. It cracks me up and just keeps getting better. As always, thank you for your amazing work. Lots of love. Jam that jam. Lost Intangibles, Wrestle Talk, 444 Life, whatever, Hannah. Yes, I think that's probably about the Elite's new love of over the top heel facial hair.
Yeah. Oh, it's so... I thought today, if you and I mean, actually, you could have got away with this, but you haven't had a beard in at the moment. You and I could have done this. Like, come onto the stream. Like, I would have shaved off the bottom half of my beard. And we could have had, like, an awful tash and stuff. But I didn't think you... Because you haven't been growing your beard in as of late. I didn't think you'd be able to do it in time.
Oh, I really want that. My lady partner, unfortunately, won't let me. have a mustache, despite it looking really good.
It looked so good on you when you did it. A couple of years ago.
It's a thing only guys appreciate on other guys. That's why it's so big with Freddie Mercury, I think. He can get Matt away Jackson. With it. Oh, he knows his Matt audience. Jackson.
Matt Jackson looked superb on this show with his mustache.
Yeah. And Nick Jackson.
Nick Jackson looked like Joe Exotic, but Matt Jackson looked genuinely brilliant.
A lot of people got in contact with me and said, if you don't have a mustache break in the news today, I'm unsubscribing. And I didn't, but it's here. I'm determined to ruin this show for audio only listeners. I'm a video man. Rain Tech. Move over, RK Bro and Reigns. Hangman is coming to claim Best Story in Wrestling Today title. That montage, especially seeing that Brody segment, total goosebumps. AEW is not perfect, but you got to love how they respect and appreciate their fans.
I miss Brody so much, man. And one of the things that really, really kills me is that we didn't get to see him in front of an AEW audience. And that really, really kills me inside.
Yeah. Anthony Velasquez, very happy they are going to finally get to the long-awaited Paige versus Omega title match. But do you guys think Paige is going to start purposely losing to try to avoid having to face Omega? I don't think so. I think they'll probably, you know, if it's all out, they've got 2 months to build. You don't want to do a losing bit now. They've already done it as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think now is basically spending the next 2 months building to that moment when Paige realizes that he could do this. There is every chance that he could beat Kenny Omega at All Out. And it's all about the Dark Order being that supportive group to him and him trying to overcome that self-doubt that he has, which I think is going to be a wonderful, wonderful story to tell.
The Portuguese Mr. Davis. Hey, lads, finally the AEW reviews are back. Great wrestling, great opening and final match. Also glad they're starting to plant the seeds for Paige versus Omega. Overall, 4 out of 5. Love y'all. Dean Barretton, what an episode. I need the Omega Page to be at least 4 matches. First 2 go to Kenny. Third is a draw with Page kicking out of the one-winged angel. Then the 4th Page wins. Slow build for the win. Side note, I would like to thank God for Miro. He is a beast. And finally, oh, do you want to say something?
I was going to say, I would honestly have Kenny win the first one.
Yeah, same. Mayor of Painesville, Dan, finally for now. Hello, guys. What is that? Me watching a live broadcast during a week? The world is healing indeed. Maybe it's time to let Jim Ross only do pay-per-view and groom a new play-by-play announcer for the weeklies. Tom Phillips is waiting right there. Give that man a chance. I think AEW's got more than enough commentators. Plenty. No need to recruit any more of those. Right, so this episode of Dynamite opened with Chris Jericho joining Dynamite, the announcers team, which is good. I think Jericho's excellent on commentary. This is the first time we've had him as a babyface, and he was still really, really insightful and valuable, I thought. And the opening match was a tag match between Eddie Kingston and Pentagon Jr. against the mustachioed Young Bucks. Winner gets, well, if Kingston and Pentagon win, they get a shot at the tag titles.
Yeah, so this is AEW's gimmick. They call it a tag title eliminator or a championship eliminator where, like, yeah, if you lose, then you don't get your title shot. But if you do win, you do get a future title shot. Now, I've actually done these a few times where the team or the singles guy hasn't won. They recently did this with Matt Sydal and Kenny Omega. So you kind of go into this thinking like, well, maybe Penta and Eddie could get the win, but like the champions have always won in these scenarios. So it was kind of nice to change that up a little bit and have Penta and Eddie get the win here. And this was a terrific match. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. I loved it. Absolutely. And what I really liked about this was kind of the story they were telling through this on commentary, which is, you know, Penta and Eddie have got history in AEW. But what we're actually looking at here is two tag teams that have been broken up by the Young Bucks because they took out Phoenix and they've taken out John Moxley. So now Kingston and Penta have come together. They've formed they're the traveling Wilburys here. They've formed this super group to come together to take on the Young Bucks. So I really, really liked that.
Nice traveling Wilburys shout out there. Roy Orbison is forever the man. This was very good. I was surprised Because when the match started, I was like, I love Kingston, but I miss Phoenix. I want Pentagon and Phoenix versus the Bucks. Honestly, within like, because the opening structure of the match was Kingston was getting worked over, but in like the least cooperative way possible. He was still brawling back against the Bucks and everything. So I forgot that Phoenix wasn't Pentagon's usual tag partner. But the match as a whole, on top of being incredibly athletic, particularly when Pentagon got in the ring, there was some booking shenanigans. Brandon Cutler went to spray Pentagon, I think, got out of the way, sprayed Matt Jackson in the face with the cold spray. But he was so shocked that he was spraying Matt Jackson, he kept on spraying him like he was frozen, which was funny.
I love that.
Such good heel shenanigans. And then there was a low blow from Nick Jackson behind the referee's back, but the Good Brothers came out, but Pentagon took them out. Despite all that, Kazarian ran down, took out Brandon Cutler, I think it was.
Yeah, he took out Cutler, and then Penta did the dive.
And then Kingston got the pin. So yeah, they're going to get a tag title shot.
Yeah.
This is the Bucks' first loss since Revolution last year.
Yeah, is it really? I mean, but that's AEW done a very good job of protecting their champions. And so, like, the Bucks taking a loss here feels like a big, big deal because it doesn't happen. And I loved this match. I really loved, like, all the convolutedness of the finish. I thoroughly enjoyed it because it plays into that Bucks heel shenanigans. We mentioned the fact as well, like, the Bucks have got their terrible facial hair, right? Because you've got Matt Jackson with the mustache and... Well, terrible, like, to try and get heel heat. I actually think it looks wonderful. You've got Matt Jackson with the mustache. You've got Nick Jackson with, like, the goatee beard. Cutler and Michael Nakazawa have also got bad facial hair. So Cutler's got this little tash. Nakazawa's got one. Kenny's got one later on. This is the Elite's new gimmick, is we've all got facial hair for heat. And I love that so much.
After that, we got a segment backstage, Christian talking up Jungle Boy, calling him a future world champion. Luchasaurus comes in very gruffly, being like, thanks for your help last week. And then Christian goes, hey, man, I'm actually a quarter Cosmoceratops on my mum's side. And Luchasaurus just goes, oh, really cool. Like, follows him out. Very good.
I thought they were going to like create some tension between Luchasaurus and Christian Cage to be like, hey, I know you. Thank you for having Jungle Boy's back, but we've got it from here because he's our brother, not yours. Mm. And then Christian's like, oh, no, by the way, I'm part dinosaur. And he's like, oh, cool. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it's definitely Christian and Jurassic Express versus Hardy's office party. Ethan Page comes out after that with Scorpio Sky. Men of the Year. It's not an act I'm into. I'm going to be quite upfront about this, but I love Ethan Page. I think he's such a good promo. He whipped the crowd up into a frenzy here. And he effectively said the coffin match with Darby Allin that's meant to be next week in Miami, I'm going to have that. I'm moving it back to the week after. The speculated reason is that Miami, of course, just had that awful building collapse. And doing a coffin match in a place like that. So that's like, and they didn't make a big deal of it. That's not been reported. It's just speculation. So that's a classy move by AEW.
I think so as well. Yeah, I was a big fan of this. I was a big fan of Page's promo. I can tell you that much because Ethan Page is a fabulous promo. Ethan Page is so good. He's making me more into Scorpio Sky than I have been previously. And it's like Ethan Page is getting me into this Man of the Hour or Men of the Hour gimmick. And I'm quite enjoying that. However, I am done with seeing these lot feud with Sting and Darby Allin. Like because I've seen the good guys win. So, like, I don't know why they're still feuding. This is, you know, what we were just criticizing WWE for like Cesaro and Seth Rollins continuing on their feud after WrestleMania, or Owens and Zayn and Apollo and Big E continuing their feuds after WrestleMania. Like, it was done at that point. I don't need to be seeing this again. And like, I've seen the good guys win. I'm sure it'll be a great match. And I'm probably, you know, in 2 weeks' time, you know, eating my own hat and being like, that match was awesome. I'm really glad I got to see it. But I probably could have waited a little bit longer as opposed to a month or so after I've already seen the good guys win.
Hot take. Overall, Sting might be more like harming than positive for Darby Allin. Because you just get sucked into a vortex with these two.
Yeah. I agree. Sting is just in like never-ending feud. We had the exact same problem with Team Taz last year, and now we're getting the same problem with Paige and Sky. Yeah, I think like Sting, I feel like Darby is less open now since he's been tagging with Sting.
Well, Sting came out, Darby was in a coffin, and they beat off the heels. Haha. After that, we got Jack Evans versus Jungle Boy. This was sort of the Jackass. Next chapter. Jackass, which Darby's in, awesomely. Jack Evans versus Jungle Boy, which is part of the overarching Matt Hardy versus Christian feud. I thought this was a really decent match, and Jungle Boy made him tap in the snare trap, making him the first person to reach 50 wins in AEW. Dark's a wonderful thing.
Good match this was. Enjoyed it a lot.
Christian came out afterwards. Bit of a post-match brawl. Christian stood tall over Matt Hardy. Got an MJF promo on Chris Jericho. He challenged him to sort of one last match and said he'll lay out the stipulations for that next week. And then for the main event, he said, Sammy, you are the future of AEW, but I'm the now. And it was just like perfect promo to make your opponent look awesome, but you more awesome.
Stipulation retirement match? With Jericho's book, like Jericho's book that he's just released, you know, which is basically like every match that he had in those 30 years. And could this now be the one where he hangs up the boots? Like Jericho just feels like he's in a very reflective point of his career.
Maybe they'll tease that. I don't think they'll do it though. You know, like if it is a retirement match, I think Jericho wins. I don't see him hanging up the boots yet. I listened to his Wrestling Observer radio interview the other day, and it showed no signs of winding down.
Okay. That's interesting. He's working.
He could be. Like Sturgis. Andrade booked himself in a match against Matt something. Of course, Matt Sydal. He was just negging him by not learning his name. For Road Rager next week in Miami. That'll be the home of Scarface, he put over. Like a stereotype. And that will be his in-ring debut.
I love Andrade El Idolo, as most people know, because I absolutely loved him in NXT and I was disappointed with his run on the main roster. He is mirroring himself in AEW at the moment here, where he's like his first month or so has not been particularly great. But you know what? Miro now, we'll talk about Miro in just a moment. He's so, so great now. That it gives me, I've genuinely now got this like spark of hope inside me. That's like, yeah, okay, this isn't great now, but like it could get really good in a few months' time when he sort of finds his feet and really finds what works for him in AEW.
Definitely. AEW, because they've got so much goodwill and track record of doing in the past, their stuff gets better. If something's bad, you can trust in it eventually getting good. But I agree, this Andrade initial run is. Well, it's a bit limp, isn't it?
Yeah, the partnership with Vicky doesn't work for me either. That really doesn't work whatsoever.
However, one of the best things on the show came up next. Kenny Omega comes down to the ring with just one belt and no Don Callis. And he cuts an in-ring interview with Tony Schiavone, effectively saying, I've beat the best high flyer. I've beat the most promising star. I beat everyone in AEW. There's no one else to face me. And of course, we all know there is. He's the hangman in the room. And the Dark Order come out. And you just know, perfect. And they never said Hangman Page's name once in this entire thing. Evil Uno gets up close to Omega. You've got the rest of the Dark Order behind him. And Evil Uno is like, well, there is one person left. We've become friends with him. He's the number one ranked competitor in singles wrestling. And then Kenny was like, if you're talking about the same person first, I don't think he'd appreciate you talking on his behalf. Secondly, he doesn't have the guts. It's happening.
Hangman didn't come out. What I loved about this is that AEW has the belief that its audience knows. Like they're not spelling things out for you here. They have this belief that the audience have been engaged in this storyline and know what they're talking about. So when he was like, I think you know who I'm talking about. And it's like the crowd are going, hang man, because they know that's who they're on about. And like Uno standing there. And I loved this because you know, it was like, here we are as the Dark Order. And Kenny had this brilliant line where he's like, who are you going to pick? Five? He wouldn't last 2 minutes with me. Because that was, he had that 10-minute match with Alan Angels last year that people criticized Kenny for because he gave him too much. So he was like, he wouldn't last 2 minutes in the ring with me. So I love that. And then Uno being like, yeah, you're right. None of us here have got enough singles wins to go after your championship. But we have made friends with someone over the past. And like, there's just like, it was this just creeping wonder coming out for everyone. And like the crowd really getting into this, because the crowd are super into the Dark Order at the moment. They're wonderfully into Paige. I loved every single thing about this. And then later on, the Dark Order are just backstage and Paige storms in and he's like, what are you guys doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing? Like, Kenny was right. Paige did not want the Dark Order speaking on his behalf. So if Kenny's right about that, is Kenny also right that he doesn't have the guts to face him? Because Hangman has got that self-doubt. And the Dark Order being there like, dude, you've got this. You can do this. And Hangman, I cannot love this story enough. It's so, so great. You described it brilliantly in your 5 minute review, which is like it's reverse machismo of just like, oh, I'm the biggest tough guy here. Like, oh yeah, I'm the biggest tough guy here and I'm going to be the tough guy for the belt. It's like, I don't know if I am. I don't know if I am. He's an anxious millennial cowboy and I absolutely adore it.
Can you think of another wrestling character, babyface or heel, that has built a really serious feud on not wanting it to happen? Like, you think of pro wrestlers, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, John Cena, like, it's all, they are all very confident. What one huge part of babyface wrestling psychology is the babyface is like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for all of you. Paige can't even do it for himself. This is like, on another level of wrestling storytelling. It's on another level of storytelling in general. This is a very, very smart, complex subversion of so many different tropes, not just in wrestling, but the cowboy archetype itself. Strong, silent. He gets the job done. You know, he is America. But here he is. He's actually inside. He's this crumbling, self-doubting mess. Absolutely incredible.
I love it. I love it so, so much. And it's brilliant to know that this storyline goes back to January of last year. That is when this storyline started. No, you want to go back even further? You want to go back to All Out? All Out what?
All Out. All Out. Hangman Page had that match against Chris Jericho. He was in the first ever AEW world title match to crown the inaugural champion, and he wasn't good enough. And we all said it.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. All I was thinking was the Kenny Page stuff, which starts at the cruise in 20. But you're absolutely bang on the banana. It goes all the way back to All Out.
It's as old as the company, almost. Certainly older than Dynamite. Brilliant. Honestly, just it's the best thing in wrestling. It's always been the best thing in wrestling, but it's taken a back seat in the last couple of months.
Bubbling under the surface.
Yeah, now they're hopefully gearing up for a match All Out. Very briefly, I think Kenny beats him, but Hangman kicks out of the One Winged Angel. And that's the hook to do a rematch.
I agree with you. I think that Kenny should definitely get the win first time round. And this might just be because I've just finished a 4,000-word article for WrestleTalk magazine, which will be out next month. Out this month, in fact, now we're in July. It was meant to be. So the magazine editor asked me to do was to write a 4,000-word article about how Kenny Omega was the best wrestler in the world in New Japan. Then he went to AEW and everyone thought he was a bit bobbins. And now he's the best wrestler in the world again. That's what I was asked to do. What I ended up doing is writing 4,000 words just about his time in New Japan. And sort of like from the start of the Elite through to them leaving New Japan. So it's now a two-part article. But in that, I relives the Omega Okada storyline and the rise of Kenny Omega. And so now, because I've been writing a lot about that and I've been reading so much about it and reliving that time, I don't want this to be a one and done. I want this to be a long, long thing that we can just keep coming back to every now and again. Don't do Page Omega at All Out, and then you do it again at what's the show after that? Revolution, and then you do Full Gear, and then you do it again at Revolution. Like you do it at All Out, and then maybe you do it again at All Out the following year.
Yeah.
Really, really stretch this out.
Yeah. After that, we got Brian Pillman Jr. Kind of really solid promo on Miro, and that led into his match against Miro, which was just perfect. It was Miro kind of getting cocky, just like not taking Pillman seriously. That gave Pillman a little 2-minute fiery comeback, but ultimately Miro destroyed him with a game over, like started off in the accolade, but then sort of leans back, crushes Pillman's legs underneath him and makes him pass out. And then afterwards, Miro with this new sort of, what's his Titantron say?
Oh,
the Redeemer or something? Something like that. But he's all about God.
Entrance. Yeah, they've repackaged his entrance again now.
And he's like looking up at the sky to God with the TNT title. And it makes him so much scarier because he's not like ironically joking, haha, I am like God's greatest gift. He's like, no, he's like a crusader who believes he is on a divine mission, or like this is why God put him on this earth. It's terrifying on a deeper level, I think, than Lance Archer, who is just like, I crush, I destroy people because I'm big. Where's Lance, by the way? I haven't seen him for a while. But Miro is very much like, no, this is my divine mission, and I will kill you now.
Yeah, agreed.
After that, we got the Page storming in on the Dark Order segment. Taz announced Brian Cage will defend the FTW title against the returning Ricky Starks in July 14th. So Ricky Starks is coming back. That's great. From a neck injury. Yeah.
And it's also the day that Nick Cage is getting out of prison to go see his daughter. July 14th.
And then we got probably the only bad thing for me on the show. It's kind of like AEW slipping into old habits. The only women's segment on the show was a tag between Nyla Rose and Vicky Guerrero versus Rebel and Britt Baker. Of course, this is a way to build Britt Baker versus Nyla Rose for Fighter Fest for the women's title. And you know, it makes sense. Put them in a match with their seconds, but I do not want to see Vicky Guerrero in a tag match in AEW when you've got like Deeb, Rosa, Riho, Ty Conti. Like, what the hell are they thinking?
This was a massive error. This did not work on pretty much every single level that it was attempting. It failed because the match was bad. Match went way longer than it should have done as well, given the, you know, sort of the comedy nature of it. Britt Baker, who is the heel in all of this, with Reba, who is the heel in all of this, was cheered like the biggest babyface on the planet when she came out and in the match, which meant that Nyla Rose, who's supposed to be the badass babyface in this, I guess, and Vicky Guerrero, who's doing the tributes to Eddie Guerrero in all of this, are getting booed by the crowd because she has the audacity to not be Britt Baker. And then, like, Nyla does the powerbomb off the ring apron through a table at the end to try and get some heat because, like, Baker and Rebel won, but it didn't work. It was a really, really misfiring segment, and it's a real shame to see AEW, I would say, take the women's division off the boil since Double or Nothing. You think all the momentum the women's division had going into Double or Nothing, following the Thunder Rosa, the Lights Out match, following into that Britt Baker, Hikaru Shida match at Double or Nothing. And now we're here. This is a huge, huge misstep.
Yeah. I can't defend this. It's AEW's worst side, unfortunately.
Yeah. Gone.
I'll have Jim Ross saying WWE Dynamite over and over again before, like, over this stuff.
Yeah. Some people in the chat as well think that Nyla Rose isn't the babyface either, which means that she is also the heel, in which case the dynamic is working even less.
Yeah. And then we got a promo from Hager Santana and Ortiz on the Pinnacle ahead of next week's six-man tag, which I'm very much looking forward to. Santana and Ortiz are just the best. And then the main event was even better than Jungle Boy versus Kenny Omega at the weekend. And I've been thinking about this. Of course, it's got the benefit of having loads of character and loads of story going into it. So there's a lot more, you know, it's going to be richer in that regard. Chris Jericho's on commentary adding that layer as well. But then the more I think about it, the more I'm like, this was also a better match.
Mm.
This is like one of the matches of the year.
This was awesome. This match absolutely ruled. It was so, so great, right?
Mm. Sorry, I just remembered Rebel dislocated her kneecap in that match as well. So thank you, Kung Fu Kenny, who just reminded me of that. Yeah, absolutely amazing match. So many awesome spots. The opening, I always forget MJF can wrestle because he carries himself like The Miz. And you like that. And he's so smart in the way he does that. He tricks us into thinking that he's a Miz-style wrestler who's only there to not work. Not to not work, you know what I mean, but to work a very safe WWE style. When actually, God, can he go? Him and Sammy at the start of this match, just this seamless sequence. And I get like Sammy, MJF, big blood feud. You should go right into a brawl. No, I don't think so, because this was built a lot on who is the future of the company, who's the best wrestler. So I think that totally made sense. And then it became a brawl after that.
There were some spots in this, man, that were bonkers. Sammy's dive into the crowd was insane in the membrane. Absolutely adored that. But the spot that I absolutely adored in all of this, because it puts over the exuberance of Sammy, like, because it comes off the back of him doing something like that. He hits his reverse GTS, and that pushes MJF towards the ropes. But MJF didn't get a foot on the ropes. Sammy got so into his pin that he pushed MJF into the ropes, and that's what broke the pin. It wasn't MJF outsmarting. It was Sammy beating himself in that moment. And then he also worked his own bit of psychology on MJF, because MJF does this middle rope tombstone pile driver. What the
hell?
That's
the finish, lads. That's the finish. That does make me angry. That genuinely makes me a bit angry.
All right, Bully Ray.
I know, yeah, me and Cornette and Bully Ray hanging out together. Because you know what you're doing there. You know you're going to piss off a bunch of people. Beyond, like, and in a meta way, not in a productive heel heat way. And you've ruined that. That's a genuine pay-per-view match ending finish. And you've just used it.
Can't believe you're getting so easily worked by MJF.
It's not Eva Marie in this situation.
He's working you, man. The pair of them are just working you.
Well.
successfully
they're
so.
Wrong. They're wrong.
But I love the selling of the knee after this. Like, MJF legit looked like he had busted his knee up from doing that. Because like it was a middle rope tombstone pile driver. That's really gonna do some damage to your knee ligaments, which, you know, gives time for Sammy to recover so he can kick out of that move. And then the pair of them sitting, like Sammy, like constantly like moving his fingers to check that he hasn't hurt his neck or anything. Mm-hmm. MJF not being able to stand, him dragging them up, and they both keep falling back down. And it was Sammy suckering him in so he could get that inside cradle for a near fall. I just loved so many things within this match. For me, like the one that bugged me the most was the 6:30 and MJF just kicking out of that. That was the one where I was like, all right, lads, I think we've had enough of our near falls now. I think it's time to take us home to a finish.
Yeah, that spot was cool because MJF was begging off. And usually, like, the wrestler then lays down to take the move. No, Sammy just hit it on him as MJF was half twisted around anyway. Ugh. But the finish was Wardlow coming out, getting Jericho off commentary, throwing him off the stage, and then Sean Spears hit Sammy with the chair. While the referee was distracted from that, MJF wins. So, you know, whatever. I really think... a lot of people I've seen said that they hope... They want MJF to just win clean eventually. I think that is a productive use of heel heat. I think not giving those clean victories actually works. But the second rope tombstone power driver kick out did irk me.
I didn't mind it, mate. I thought it was really cool.
I'm
in touch.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
This isn't Canadian Destroyer on the apron to do a setup move for a near fall in the opening match of an indie show. It's the main event of a show. My point was, this wasn't done in the opener of the show. This was the main event of the show.
Don't want to be worked any longer. I gave it 4 out of 5, the same rating that I gave Raw this week. It was a similar quality.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the chat was in agreement with you. Our community tab, a whopping 52% of the audience gave it 4 out of 5. 26% said it was a 5 out of 5 show, and then 15% said it was a 3 out of 5 show. Lovely seeing so many positive people talking about AEW. Very much have it. My first note I had after that Penta and Eddie versus Young Bucks match was, I've missed AEW and I've missed doing these reviews. And yeah, call the bias in this any other. Bloody love this company, me.
Also, your Ultra Chats, get them in. WrestleTalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one over $5. Last call for those. Genetic Ghost says, Hangman was so afraid of failing because all the Elite ever did was win. He may be anxious, but he outwardly admitted he felt bad about it. The Bucks, and especially Kenny, let those feelings rot them from the inside out. I disagree with that. I think Kenny and the Bucks were trying to help Paige, but, you know, it's frustrating dealing with people like that. I think Paige takes his share of the blame. That's what makes it such a compelling story. Janet Ghost again. Just another Elite observation, lads. Hangman is the Dark Order's Kenny Omega. When Kenny still believed that his friend would always be by his side, when he knew that love mattered, Kenny poisoned his best friends to make sure they stayed by his side. Oh, yeah, that's a good point with the Bucks. Rain Tech. It's so crazy to think AEW Dynamite had like 3 times more episodes in the pandemic era than they had shows at all. Let that sink in. They were roughly 6 months in before the pandemic hit, yet they came out of it a lot stronger. What a great company. Flack was a matrose? Flatch was a matrose? WWE published a top 10 Edge Returns video. Talk about a troubled career. And he always looks like he was betrayed by a fart.
Does he?
Is that the steam that he comes out from?
I guess so, yeah. Letting everyone know he's hanging off cast.
Jeff Mancini. He was in WWEF for eons, saying the name is always going to be second nature. Good S word. S happens, get over it, people. That's about Jim Ross. Norm Summers. Jim Ross saying WWE Dynamite and Women's Tag drop this to a 4 out of 5 show. Was it the first Dynamite? Can't wait to get back to a live show. Cheers, boys. Luke, do you want to do the positive version?
This company.
Yeah. Austin Falco. Glad to have you guys back reviewing Dynamite. The last 2 shows feel like a return to form for AEW, and I think we're in for a fun ride to All Out, especially when we're on the road. My only gripe is that I think AEW needs to put 2 women's matches on every show to build that division up more. Definitely agree.
Agreed. Yeah. I totally agree on that.
Zachary T. Robinson. Hey guys, Kenny Omega's new facial hair really gives me Lemmy from Motorhead vibes if it'd been ordered by Wish from Wish.com. Also, looking forward for the next Fan Quizzlemania now that the perk's been moved to the WrestleTalk Patreon tier list. Jam that jam. Peanuts on the up.
Can I get you one level further than that? I don't think it's Lemmy from Motorhead. It's Reign of Terror Triple H.
Yes. Yeah. Very good.
Magnetic
Field. That moustache break caught me off guard and had me in fits of laughter. Glad to be of service. James Hanley. I've missed both of you beautiful bastards. I just wanted to say that Paige drinking alcohol right at the end of the scene did not inspire much confidence. Or was he in the Dark Order? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was.
Back on the source. But do you think it's too early for him to go after Omega? I wasn't expecting it until Full Gear.
Well, James, like,
it's been over a year.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. But, like, you know, he won the belt in December, so we're now into the 7th month of the year. I don't think it's too soon just yet. It's too soon for Paige to win the belt, though. That much I would say.
Mm. I just love the line, you've got to get back on the horse. He's a cowboy. Makes so much sense. Gabe Caruso, I watched Dynamite last night with my 12-year-old nephew. He watches Dark and Elevation every week. Well, he hasn't got a real job to take up all his time. He was way more into the idea of Seidel versus Andrade than me. I don't know what I'm missing. Am I the only one not on the Seidel train? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I've always been a bit of a mark for Matt Seidel, so I'm excited for it. Like, I was excited when he came into AEW. I was one of those people who was like, oh no, Matt slipped. Oh no, people are going to think he's rubbish now, but he's really good.
Yeah, it's not a big fiery program. It hasn't been a big fiery debut for Andrade. But maybe we'll see Zelina Vega debut. Nate S, the Elite brought to you by Just for Men. We were chanting Joe Exotic at Nick Jackson. Nate was there, of course. I thought Kenny was teasing an announcement into the G1. Ah, because he's like, I've beaten everyone here. Mm. I think that's off the table. It's going to be too logistically difficult getting in and out of Japan. Like with the quarantine stuff and getting back in time for Dynamite. Really fun show all around. Gonna miss having AEW at Dailies. Also, hope you enjoyed my email.
Nate sent us some pictures of his time at Dailies Place, which were really, really nice, actually. So thank you very much for sending those over. Bobby G says, welcome back, gents. We've missed you on the Thursday recaps. Question, do you feel this episode was a hard push to showcase younger talent? To me, MJF versus Sammy really showed that the younger talent can pull off the main event and create their own legends.
I didn't feel that way. I felt like one of the great things is that Sammy and MJF feel like they totally fit in that spot. And that's because of 18 months of hard work making them feel that way.
Stephen Guzman, the last 15 months of AEW and Daily's Place has really gotten me through this last year and a half. It's been amazing to watch Kenny Omega's reign, the war of Moxley and Kingston. Oh, that Moxley-Kingston war. So, so great. Yeah. Someone shared recently, do you remember when they had the promo with Bryce Remsburg? And Remsburg cut the promo on Kingston about how Kingston had like fallen into this dark path. So great, man. Sorry, Stephen continues. Hangman with the Dark Order. Kenta opening that door. AEW made me love wrestling. OGP, yeah, you know me, said, great show. Rough day finding out my uncle died this morning and still had to pull myself together for work and an interview an hour ago. Great show. Bomb-ass main event. And the interview went great. Great selling by MJF. Great closing segment. Jam that gem. Best of luck in that interview, OGP. And I'm very sorry to hear about your uncle as well.
That is a roller coaster of a day, yeah.
Myron Speed said, return of the Dynamite review. Return of the precious metals to Wednesday night. Everyone expected Golden Joe to turn heel, but the whole of CBW was shocked to learn Silver Bro was the evil twin all along.
I cannot wait till we can do CBW again. Oh, miss Golden Joe. Because he is the baby face. I genuinely believe he's doing right.
Yeah, and I believe you as well. I know that he's doing right.
He had such an abusive father.
And HCB said, hi guys, really excited that Paige versus Omega is about to happen. To be fair, based on Luke's review of Raw, it's similar to AEW. Everything apart from the women's division was good to great, and no one knows the face heel dynamics in the women's title feud either. Gem that gem. HCB's got a point there.
That's why I gave them both 4 out of 5. Well, thank you everybody for joining us today. Thank you for all your generous Ultra Chats as well. No thank you for the upswinging subscribers. We've increased 10 since that call out. But you know what? We've just dropped one.
It had the adverse effect.
It was 432 and I refreshed it and it gone down to 431. Well, great. We've increased by 9 subscribers. But it's a nice day, so I'm going to play it again.
Folks, there's nothing in your life that will top seeing a live WWE Dynamite.
Now, you said that my new segment wasn't going to take off.
Because it wasn't
going to work.
When you start going through these emails, here's my bet. No one's understood what it is. It'll just be meetings with wrestlers.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised, because mm-hmm. I set up a new feature on the Raw podcast. If you don't listen to the Raw podcast, understandably so, not many people like Raw. I set up this new feature about like not wanting to meet wrestlers in case you got it wrong. And this isn't just like, you know, there are certain wrestlers I think that everyone has that you would be too afraid to approach in case you got it wrong. Ollie Davis is shaking his head. I think it is a thing. And the email that we got proved that it is a case. Yeah, that's right. One email, and it came in 2 hours ago. But thank you very
from
much.
Pete Quinnell.
No, Pete doesn't listen to this show. From not anymore, anyway, not now that he works here. From Forrest, who says, Namaste, Luke and Ollie. This is neither here nor there, but I just wanted to start by saying I've just joined the $25 tier on Patreon.
Well, good for you. Actually, I'll take that as a nice little segue for a plug, because as of today, we used to have Wrestle Talk's Patreon page, and then we had Parts of Unknown's Patreon page for all of the different series over there. And we're like, let's just merge these. It's all wrestling. We're all part of the same community. We don't want to like get two lots of money from the same person. So we have put the most popular thing on Parts of Unknown, Quizzlemania, onto Wrestle Talk's Patreon. So now Parts of Unknown's Patreon, we've sort of closed that and moved the most popular thing over to Wrestle Talk. So yeah, go over to patreon.com/WrestleTalk. There's exclusive podcasts there. You get your name shouted out in this very show. And now you can play against everyone in a Quizzlemania hosted by Adam Blompier and Andy Dadson every month.
Forrest email continues. While there are many wrestlers I would be afraid to get it wrong with, at the top of that list would be Kenny Omega.
Oh.
As an avid video game and tabletop gamer, Dungeons & Dragons, Magic the Gathering, MMOs, RPGs, RTSs, take your pick, nerd. And a part-time gaming streamer myself.
This isn't Pete.
I'm kidding, of course. I only said nerd because you play Magic the Gathering, and that is for nerds.
Oh, yeah. Dungeons
& Dragons are dead end.
That and New Year. I'm going to take your lunch money. When me and Luke are taking your lunch money.
Anyway, Forrest says, as an avid video gamer and video and tabletop gamer and part-time gaming streamer, meeting Mr. Omega would be incredibly stressful to me. Not only because he's the best in the world of wrestling, but he's also a gamer. The thought of screwing up any information or lore on a gaming series and having Kenny think that I was a fake gamer or trying to BS my way through a subject that he enjoys and works into his character, I don't think I could take it. I would probably just die and then want to die again. Much love, the ghost that haunts Wrestle Talk, Forrest. That is what we're after from this email segment. Beautiful, right? That's great content. Yeah.
Let's see if it catches on. I know what you mean, though. We had a wonderful Rusev Hay once with Kenny Omega. I was a fan who met Kenny Omega. Do you remember this? They were walking out of like a 4D ride in Universal Studios or somewhere, and they were like, that is the back of the head of Kenny Omega, you know, the wonderful blonde curls, and went up. It was like after some big match as well, not recently. This is like New Japan days, and they introduced themselves and they said Kenny was amazing. No, that's it. Kenny had waited outside because the fan obviously recognized them, waited outside so they could get a photo together.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah.
He wouldn't do that now, the heel. He would He would storm off now. Not storm off, but just be like, what a mark. Not paying him any time of day.
Or take the photo, but just have the middle finger up at the person you're taking the photo with.
Maybe that could be another email segment in. I'd imagine a lot of people here were bullied for watching wrestling. What would you bully people over? What thing?
Do we want to encourage this?
No, yeah. I'm trying to think of new ideas. I was listening to a radio show the other day that had my favorite call-in segment. It was the most popular call-in segment they've ever had as well, which is, who is the most famous person you've ever had a curry with or near? And more importantly, what curry did they have? And it was brilliant. It was people like emailing us like, I saw Glenn Hoddle in a local chicken vindaloo.
often going to be football managers. Mick McCarthy, I've heard locally. who was the other one? Ian Holloway, Queen's Park Ranger manager, came up with the word bounce back ability. I'm pretty sure he had a curry in Dartford once that I heard about. I was watching a show. It's like the best of Moving to the Sun, which is this Channel 4 show in the UK about depressed couples who think the solution to their problem is to move to Spain. And, you know, they want like this beautiful pool and access, like they want to see the beach, and they want four rooms and aircon and all the mod cons, and they want it for half of the price that any of those things are worth, and they're always disappointed. It's a brilliant show, and this was the best of, and they followed this one about a couple who had set up a restaurant, and it looked like such a bad restaurant, and they're both sitting there talking about how we've had loads of people come in recently, and then there was like, oh, and they had a celebrity as well. And they're telling this story that had this big build-up. And it's like the woman goes, well, yeah, and John comes over to me and says, you're never going to guess who's outside waiting to come in. I said, who? And we both looked at each other, looked outside, saw him, and thought, no way. No way is Michael Portillo coming here. And I was just like, oh, I don't know what I was expecting, but Michael Portillo, 90s conservative politician who now hosts shows about railway trips. It was so far down.
If you'd have given me 100 guesses, I never would have got to Portillo.
No. It's a bad show. Sounds like it's a great show.
That sounds like the punchline to an Alan Partridge sketch, like from I'm Alan Partridge.
Yeah, that's why I liked it so much. Oh, have you seen the final of This Time?
I haven't seen any of this series of This Time Alan Partridge. The only bit I've seen, and it really made me laugh, is when he gives his co-host the horseshoe. Said, it was from the horse that trampled that suffragette. What was her name? Emily Pankhurst. Oh, the horse.
That is one of the least funny bits. Honestly, you should watch it, because what they do at the end, I think, signals the very exciting next iteration of Partridge, because we've had the two series.
Yeah. He's doing a tour next year. He's doing a live show.
Oh, yeah, the live tour, yeah.
Yeah, oh, I might want to go to that. I'm also going to recommend, if you like sort of people being sad abroad in Spain, show is about 10 years old at this point, though. Gordon Ramsay, Costa del Nightmares. Oof. It's Kitchen Nightmares, but with expats who have set up restaurants in Spain for British tourists. And, oh, it's wonderfully terrible. It's
everyone. Everyone looks orange in that show, surely.
It's so brilliant. Oh my God, it's wonderful for that. You would love it.
The people are orange. The host is orange. The food, if it's Costa del Sol, is most definitely deep fried orange also.
Oh yeah. You would love it. Anyway, that is all we've got time for this edition of the show. I will be back tomorrow with Denise and Adam Blompier on the new iteration of the Friday show. So do tune in for that. Thank you all so much for listening. Take care, everyone. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.